his gospel contains a prediction by our Lord of a number of things. First of all, the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place about 35 years later. Also, there are predictions of the end of the world and the coming of the end of the world, the signs that will precede the end of the world. And our Lord tells us in another place that we do not know when that will be, that no one knows, only the Father in heaven, not even the angels, know when the end of the world will come. But the end of the world will be followed immediately by the general judgment. And the general judgment is spoken of many times in Scripture. We know there will be two judgments for every person. First of all, there is the particular judgment for each of us when we die. At the moment of death, our divine Lord will judge every soul. And at the immediately after death, after particular judgment, the soul will enter into one of three places. First of all, there may be heaven immediately for one who dies in the state of grace and has no temporal punishment remaining for any past sins that have been forgiven, or one who dies in baptismal innocence without any sin at all. That person would go straight to heaven. There would be purgatory for those who die in the state of sanctifying grace but have the remains of sin, temporal punishment due to sin, yet to be expiated. And they would go to purgatory, and that would be for a period of time, shorter or longer. And then after that time is complete, then they would enter heaven. And for those who die in the state of mortal sin, they are sentenced to hell for all eternity. So that is the particular judgment. And interestingly, nowhere in Scripture do we see the particular judgment taught explicitly. We know there will be a particular judgment because Holy Mother Church teaches it. And we infer it from the story our Lord told of the rich man and Lazarus. And that story explains to us that there is either reward or punishment immediately after death, that the souls of the departed do not wait until the end of time to receive either their reward or punishment. So there is the particular judgment. But today in the gospel, our Lord speaks about the general judgment, as he did on a number of other occasions and as many places of Scripture refer to. In fact, we recall when our Lord was brought before the Sanhedrin. After he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was brought before the council of the leaders of the Jewish people. And there were various witnesses that came forth, and they contradicted one another. And finally, the high priest stood up and said, "I adjure thee by the living God, tell us if thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And our Lord said, "I am. Henceforth you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty." And it was more than they could bear. The high priest rent his garments and they shouted out, "He is worthy of death." They thought this was blasphemy. But it was a warning to them by our divine Lord. "I am the Son of God, but be careful that you do not pronounce unjust judgment, or you will answer at judgment." So we find this again on many occasions. On the ascension of our Lord into heaven, as the apostles were looking up, as our Lord was taken up into heaven, the angels said to them, spoke to the apostles and said, that you will see him coming on the clouds of majesty at the end of the world with great power and majesty, coming with the angels on the clouds. That will be a wonderful sight indeed, and a sight of great joy to those who live good Catholic lives, and a sight of fear and dread to those who live lives of sin. The general judgment will be preceded by, first of all, the signs approaching, the end of the world approaching, will be, the signs will be, first of all, our Lord tells us that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. And that second, there will be the coming of the end of the world will be preceded by the stars falling from heaven and various signs in the sky. And then the end of the world will come with fire. And we say in the Apostles' Creed that our Lord will come to judge the living and the dead, meaning those who are alive at the time of the end of the world and will thereby expire with the end of the world, and also those who died any time previously. But all of them, their bodies will be reunited with their souls, and they will all be gathered together in one place. And according to tradition, according to the fathers of the church, that place is the Valley of Josaphat. And the Valley of Josaphat lies between the city of Jerusalem, which is on a hill, and the Mount of Olives, which is opposite the city. And there's this large valley in between. And part of the Valley of Josaphat is the Garden of Gethsemane. Interestingly, because if the general judgment is to take place there in the Valley of Josaphat, it will be fitting that our Lord will be honored and will be present as the judge who, in that valley, at least in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffered his agony and was arrested. And this reminds us of the words of St. Augustine, "He who has been unjustly judged, shall one day judge the world in justice." So it would be appropriate that there where our Lord was arrested, where he was dragged forth to his execution, that there he shall be the judge. Again, quoting from the prophet Joel, "I will gather together all nations and will bring them down into the Valley of Josaphat, and I will plead with them there." And so from those words of the prophet, again, the fathers of the church derive that idea that the general judgment will take place there. But we know that all human beings will be gathered together. And in today's gospel, our Lord says that he will divide the good from the wicked. And the good he will place on his right hand and the wicked on his left. There will be a trumpet sound, and this will call forth all of those who have died, and their bodies will rise, be reunited with their souls. They will be assembled, and they will be judged. And every human being will see and hear the sentence passed on every other human being. Our entire lives will be made manifest to all mankind. Our sins, our most secret sins, will be revealed in the sight of all. That will be the general judgment, that great and terrible day. The wicked, according to the Apocalypse of St. John, will cry out for the mountains to fall upon them and cover them, because they will see the face of the judge and they will tremble. On the other hand, those who have lived good lives will see the face of our divine Lord and they will be filled with delight. They will see his sign in the sky, as the gospel says. And we believe that will be the sign of the cross. And that will be a sign of comfort and joy to those who have followed after the pattern of the life of Christ and have carried their cross. And they will then go into everlasting happiness, and the wicked will be condemned to everlasting torment. Such will be the general judgment. But the question comes to mind, why? If every human being is judged immediately after death, the particular judgment, why will there be a general judgment? The sentence will not be changed for anyone, not even in the least will the sentence be changed. So why another judgment, the general judgment? And there are several reasons for that. First of all, so that the justice of God can be seen and esteemed by all. How often does it not happen in this world that the wicked prosper and the good suffer? We see so much inequity in this world, and even the best of governments cannot perfectly balance the scales. How many wicked persons get away with crimes that are not discovered? And again, how many good people suffer? And so here, in the sight of all, the judge will balance the scales, and perfect justice will be administered. So that is one reason. Another is because the providence of God is not often understood in this life. So often we do not understand, why does God allow this to happen or that to happen? We know as good Catholics that we must accept both good and evil, both good and bad, everything that takes place. And we know that God loves us, and He allows everything for a reason. But so often, we have no idea what those reasons are. But there at judgment we will see. We will adore and admire the beautiful providence of Almighty God. Also at judgment, God's honor will be vindicated. How often God is offended, even blasphemed by the wicked. And there His honor will be repaired and restored in the sight of all. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, we know that God loves His saints. It is said that God is jealous of His saints. Those who carry their cross, who strive to obey the laws of God, who live good and holy lives, God loves them dearly. And so they will be vindicated. They will be raised up and honored in the sight of all mankind. These are the reasons why there will be a second, a final, and a general judgment in the sight of all men. What a tremendous day that will be. And let that thought spur us on to live in such a manner that we will hear the words of our divine Lord that will place us on His right hand among the others who will hear the words, "Come, blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." May we live in such a manner that we will hear those words and rejoice with our Lord and the saints forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.